We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shemichan Yaakov Bevirich of Leo and Bechoris Periches Mishnah Tes. Habachur no tel pishnayim benichse ha'av, ve'enu no tel pishnayim benichseim. The first halacha here is telling us that the Bechor's right of pishnayim, getting an extra share of the estate, that only applies to property that he's yoreish from his father, but not from his mother. Anything that's left from his mother is going to be divided equally with all of the brothers. What's this based on? So the pasuk says ki hu reishis ono lo mishpata b'chora, and the Gemara on Daf Nun Beis says that the word lo, him, is referring to the father, that it's from the father's property, lo mishpata b'chora, that the b'chor gets a special portion, but not for the property of his wife. The Sifri learns it from Rashi's Ono, the first of his strength, of the father's strength, but not the first of the mother's strength. So either way, the Bechor gets Pishnaim from the possessions of the father, the estate of the father, not the estate of the mother. And then Mishnah says, Ve'enu no tel Pishnaim ba'shevach. The next halacha is, he doesn't get Pishnaim from improving. What does it mean? If the property improved after the father passed away, before it is divided by the brothers, the Bechor does not get a Pishnaim from that which it improves. So how do we decide this? So right when the father dies, we see what the estate, the value of the estate is. And then from that is what he gets Pishnaim. Any improvement afterwards, so that's going to be divided equally with the brothers. Where do we learn this from? So this is based on the pasuk of B'chol Asher Yimatzelo, and all that's found of his, only what's found in the father's property, the time that he dies, is included. Now when we speak about improvement, that which is where there's no Pishnaim, we're not only talking about where there's an investment of money, time, effort by the brothers before they divide the estate, but that would be true even if it's improvement shevach that happens naturally. So we'll see. Let's say the produce grows; it was partially ripe and then it became fully ripe. That's also improvement, even though that occurs naturally. That if that happened after the father's death, the pishnayim does not the brother does not get any pishnayim from that. But if there's inflation. Let's say you have real estate and it appreciates. So that's where there's no physical improvement at all that you see. So that's not considered improvement. That's there. We would say the Bechor would be entitled to Pishnayim. Since that doesn't have the status of Shevach, so that improvement in terms of just the appreciation, the value of the estate, so that he will get after between what the father's death and the division. And then the Mishnah says, "V'lo baroi kiva muchza," nor does the Bechor receive Pishnaim double in Ra'ui, that which is fit to come to the father, Kiva Muchzak, versus that which is in his possession. The point is that obviously that which is in the father's possession right now, what we call Muchzak, is going to give him Pishnaim, because that's in his estate right now. But there may be Ra'ui, maybe things that don't yet belong to the father, but are coming to him. There's a loan that's owed to him. There's an inheritance that he's going to receive, meaning the father died before the grandfather. So the father has a share in the grandfather's estate, so the Bechor doesn't get is not going to get Pishnaim of that property. This is also based on Bechol Asher Yimatzelo. Yimatzelo means that which is found in his estate right now. That's Muchzak. Anything Roy, there's a debt that's owed to him, so that even though it's owed to him, that's not part of Pishnaim. That's not Bechol Asher Yimatzelo. That's not found by him right now. And then the Mishnah says, to apply the same idea, V'lo ha'isha b'ksuv asa, a woman is widowed, and the husband leaves property for him, and for her, and there's not enough. The property normally is there to pay for the ksuva. So if let's say there's not enough money in the ksuva, meaning the husband doesn't have the cash or metatlin to pay, and in terms of his estate, all he has, there's not even enough to pay the ksuva from his estate, so she would like to collect from any shevach, any improvements in the estate that came after the husband's passing. Or any assets that come to him after his passing. So the Mishnah says, no. V'lo isha b'ksuva sa. She is not going to receive her ksuva, even though she's not receiving the full amount, if it's from Roi, that which is coming to him, loans that are owed to him, etc. She does not receive any of that. And that's true also when it comes to the improvements, the sheva. And the Bartanu explains like this: in ein shavin hanachasim b'shas mitzas baal or kedeshir ksuvasa. if the possessions, the estate of the husband, are not enough to equal the amount of the ksuva. And then he improved, then he appreciated. She can only collect what the ksuva is, what it was worth when he passed away, no improvements. Hold on one second. Normally, a creditor does get collect shevach improvements. So why wouldn't it be true? The woman is essentially a creditor. The husband owes her the ksuva. So says the Bar Tanura, mikule ksuva sharukan. This is one of the leniencies when it comes to the ksuva, which means leniencies for the husband. That is v'chein einon notelis b'roi kavamoksak. And the same thing when it comes to roi kavamoksak. If the husband has roi, an inheritance coming to him, or loan money, let's say, coming to him, that's not called muchzak, that's called roy, and she can't collect the ksuba from that either. Then the Mishnah says, velo habonos b'mezonoseim, the same idea, the improvements and roy versus muchzak, they cannot collect the daughters in their mezonos. What does this mean? So when a husband, husband marries, so the halacha is that there's a tanai in the ksuba that daughters are going to receive sustenance from the father's estate until they get married. Until they're older. So that's a tanai that's actually written, that's part of the ksuva. And if it's not written in the ksuva, we assume that it's built into the ksuva. And this privilege that she has is even over the inheritance, the yerusha of the brothers. But the Mishnah is telling us that these daughters, in terms of the mezonos, are only going to receive the sustenance from the property that was in the domain of the father at the time that he passed away. If there's any improvement afterwards, they don't have the right to collect from that. Then the Mishnah says, "V'lo hayavam." The Yavam as well. What does it mean? Who's the Yavam? So the Bar Tanur says, Hanota Chelek HaMes. The Yavam is the one whose brother passed away, and he is supposed to perform the mitzvah of Yibum, and he receives the assets of the estate of the person, his brother who passed away. She Yibim Mishto. Einu Notel Chelek HaChav Lomen HaShevach V'Lomen HaRoy Lavo. He cannot collect a portion of from his brother's estate, not from that which improves after his brother died, nor that which is roi that is coming to him but was not in his state right now, like money that's owed to him, like a debt. My time. So the Bar Tanur explains why this is based on the Gemara. The Bechor Kaya Rachmana. Now we will learn this in Yevamos. The pasuk says V'hayah Bechor Asher Teleid, which according to a simple interpretation means after the Yavam performs Yibram and they have a child, so then this child will be called Al Shem Hames. The Bechor that's born to the in this new union is going to be named after the deceased. So the Chazal tell us that that's not what the pasuk means. The Bechor we're referring to is the person who is performing Yibam. And the person performing Yibam ideally should be the Bechor, should be the older of the brothers. If he doesn't want to, then we go to the other brothers, if there's another brother. But we go to the older brother. So he's the Bechor. So that since he, the Yavam, is called the Bechor, at Vahaya Bechor Asher Teleid, we're referring to him, so therefore we can learn that the whatever applies to a Bechor will apply to this Bechor, to this Yavam. And the Gemara therefore says, Ma Bechor Eino Notel B'Shevach V'Lebaruch Lavo, just like Bechor cannot receive his portion, his double portion from Shevach for any improvements, nor with Roy, nor with, let's say, a debt that's owed, or inheritance that's going to be eventually coming to him. Therefore, since he, the Yavam, is called a Bechor, it will follow the rules of Bechor as well. No Shevach, no improvements, and no Ro'i, only Mochzok. Then the Mishnah says, which seems to be redundant, V'chulan ein notlin b'shevach, v'lo ra'ui kivah mochzak. And all of these people we just listed cannot take from the shevach, from the improvements, and not ra'ui, not which is fit to come to him, versus kivah mochzak, where they can't take from mochzak. So why do we have this extra phrase? So the Bar Tanur says like this, Hadar Tana Lei, the Gemara, and this is based on the Gemara, the Tana that teaches this again, La Asuye, to come to include Shivcha de Bemela, Shevach that happens naturally. We made this point already. Could go into Vua Shahisa Shachas. Let's say you have grain, but it's Shachas, which means it's not ripe just yet. Shemesa of it when the father passed away. Va'achshav Nasu Shibolim. And now they're in stalk, so it's grown. Now it's ripe. Oh, Tamarim Smadar. So they were, they were unripe. V'nasu achshav tamar gadol. Now they're very large. So from here, it's coming to teach me that even this, which is a natural improvement, I would have thought that this, the all of these people on the list, the banos with the mezonos and the woman with the tzuva and the yavam and the bechor, etc., can take from these types of improvements because they happen naturally. This is not involved. This is not because of any investment of money, let's say, of the other brothers. So it's come to teach us, no, even this is considered is considered an improvement of Shevach from which Pishtaim cannot be collected. So as the Bartuner explains, Dime Reish, if I just had the ratio without this redundancy here, Hava Amina ki eina b'chor noto Pishtaim b'Shevach, hani mili, what Shevach? I would have thought b'Shevach shetarach b'lechav. Oh, they went through some terchal, could go into Zvul Sados, they fertilized the fields, v'kikshish v'idur, and they did hoeing, and weeding. So that's what I would thought. Oh, that's where he can't get Pishnayim. No, so the answer is even this natural type of Shevach, he still can't get Pishnayim from that. Then the Mishnah's extra statement, V'lo baroi kimamuchzak, what's that coming to include? So says the Bar Tanura, La'asuye im haya avi avihem chai b'shas misas avihem. So let's say you have the brothers, there's a Bechor who's supposed to get Pishnayim, and the father passed away, and their grandfather was still alive. V'hayu nechassim and of course, when the grandfather passes away, so this is going to go to the grandchildren. This is going to go to this Bechor, the potential Pishnayim, and his brothers, because their father already passed away. Even though for sure, for certain, it will fall to them, be Yerusha. And even if there's another son, another child, they're certainly going to get the portion from their father. So I would have thought that I would have had the hava amina that this is considered muksuk. It's coming to them before, of course, the grandfather passes away. It's a given that this is coming to them. Maybe this should be considered muksuk, and the bechor should get pishnaim. Kamash malan comes to teach us that no, even this is an example of ro'oi, and not muksak, and there's no pishnayim. Perek ches mishnah yud. So this is, we need a little introduction to Yovel. The pasuk says in Vayikra Chafei in Parashas Bahar, ki amuchachicha umachar me'achuzaso. Person is poor and he has no choice but to sell his ancestral estate. V'yatza b'yovel v'shav l'achuzaso. So the pasuk says that memkar, that sale it returns to the seller in Yovel. So the Mishnah comes to teach us Elu She'enon Chosen B'Yovel. So there are certain things, though, in our Mishnah that will not return in Yovel. First on the list is HaBechorah. The Chelek, the portion the Bechor gets more than his brothers, the Pishnayim, does not return to the brothers in Yovel. It's not like he gets the Pishnayim for a certain period of time till the Yovel year, till the 50th year, and then it returns. It's not true. How do I know that? Because the Pasuk says L'Saslo Pishnayim. What does that teach us? So the Gemara explains that there's a hekesh here between the double portion of the Bechor and the regular portion that everyone's receiving. Just like the regular brother, what we call the pashut, the regular brother, his portion that he is yoresh from the father, that doesn't return to anybody in Yovel. It's a Yerusha. So too, the Pishnayim is considered a Yerusha, that which the Bechor gets, and that does not go back to the brothers. Don't have to divide it up now with the brothers when the Yovel year comes. The Hayoresh Yesishto, this is someone who inherits his wife, so this also is considered a Yerusha. It's not go back to her family in the Yovel year. The Tanavar Mishnah holds, according to some, it must be that the ability for a husband to be Yoresh's wife is a Din D'Oraisa. Based on the Pasuk Mayidvar in Bamidbar Chav Zayin, Unisatem es nachal so lish eiro hakarov elov mimishpach tovi rasho sa. She'ero is referring to Ishto. So it's coming to teach us that a Baal is Yoresh's Ishto. And that's the case he's Yoresh from Minato or Midoraisa. So then since it's considered a Yerusha, it doesn't return in Yovel. The Rambam Hametz told that Yerusha of a husband is not Minatora, it's only Midivisof, only Midirabonon. Nonetheless, he says it still doesn't go back in Yovel to the wife's family because the Chachamim made chizuk for their words like Torah. Very often the Chachamim are very strict, so we follow their rules. If they create a Yerusha Darabanan, we're going to treat it like Yerusha Daraisa. And then the Mishnah says, what else doesn't go back in Yovel? V'hamayabim es eshes achiv. person who performs Yibum to his sister-in-law, his brother's wife. So what's the halacha? We mentioned the previous Mishnah. He's Yoresh, all of the Nechasim, all of the estate of his brother, of his deceased brother, and he does not have to return that back to the other brothers in the Yovel year, because he has a din like a Bechor. Now, what's that based on? He has a din like a Bechor. So we mentioned the fact that the Bechor Asher Teleid is not a reference to the child that's born from the new union of the brother and his sister-in-law, but rather the Bechor is returning the Yovim himself. And to elaborate upon this, it says, Al Shem Achehem Yikaru Benachalasam. That's in Parshas Vayechi. And it also says, Yakum Al Shem Achiv. That's referring to the Yavam. So just like when it comes to Al Shem, it says Shem Achehem Yikaru Benachalasam, it calls it a Nachala. So too, when it comes to Al Shem Achiv, on the name of his brother, that's also referring to it a Nachala. It's a full Yerusha. Since it's a full Yerusha, so it does not return in Yovel. Then the Mishnah says, "Vahamatana, divrei Rabbi Meir." What else? A person who gives his field to his friend. Now he doesn't sell it to him. He gives it as a gift. Doesn't go back in Yovel. That's what Rabbi Meir holds. He believes that the only thing that goes back in Yovel is a sold field. But a sada that a person receives as Yerusha or as Matana does not go back. No, Matana Kemecher. They believe that a matana, a gift, has the status of a mecher of a sale, and therefore that goes back to in Yovel just like a field that was sold. Based on the pasuk in Bahar, Perichafei Bishnas Hayovel Hazos Tashuvu Ish Elachuzoso. That pasuk the Gemara says is superfluous. So because it already says Vishavten Ish Elachuzoso. Three psukim before that. So what is the extra phrase, Bishnas Hayovel Hazos Tashuvu Ish Alechuzoso? Comes to teach us that Matana, even a gift, returns. Rabbi Elazar Omer Kulon Chorzin Leyovel. Rabbi Elazar disagrees with everything that we had in the Mishnah. Meaning, they agree with the Chachamim that a Matana has the status of a Mecher, but he also believes that everything we listed in the Mishnah is considered a Matana. So take, for example, the Bechor, the Pishnayim. It says, Lases Lo Pishnayim. So Lases Latet is a Matana. So therefore, the Torah, since the Torah calls the chedek of the chora matana, and the Yerusha of the Baal of his wife is only midivrei sofim, only midirabban, and therefore it doesn't have the status of Yerusha. It will have the status of matana because it's a gift like the Chachamim have given us. And a person who's miyabeim eshes achiv, we know he has the din like a bechor, and we just said bechor is considered like a matana because it's the word loses lo. So therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, you know what that tells me? That everything on this list goes back in Yovel. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroko Omer, last opinion in the Mishnah, Hayorish is ishto yachsul v'nei mishpacha. If a person is Yorish's wife, he has to return it to her family. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroko holds that the Yerusha of a Baal, of his wife's property, is min ha-Torah. So if that's the truth, so it's a Yerusha, why should it go back in Yovel? So he says, we're talking about a husband who inherited from his wife a Beis HaKvaros, a cemetery of a family plot, family cemetery. And therefore, why is it returned? Because it's what we call pagam mishpacha. It's pagam, it's inappropriate, literally a defect. It's a disgrace to the wife's family that other people who are not family members are going to be buried in the plot. So, and their family members are going to be buried amongst other people who are strangers. So therefore, this halacha, the Chacham said that the Beis HaKvaros should return to the Bnei Mishpacha, and they will give him the value of that. But he has to subtract the amount of his wife's grave because he's chayav to bury her. They shouldn't have to pay for that. That's his obligation.